God bless you, Sister Connors, and thank you so much for introducing me. I couldn't have thought of anyone better to do than you, and I appreciate that. Giving honor to God, to Senior Bishop Kennebrew, President Bishop Lindsey Jones, Host Bishop, Bishop Dale Cajot, my presiding bishop, Bishop Blake Hill, to the Board of Bishops, to my pastor, Elder Clifton Goodloe III, and to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ on the line tonight. It is indeed an honor to be able to speak on the seven words from the cross as spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And, of course, I was given St. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. And if I could label this word tonight, I was so impressed to call it from relationship to relationship. And as you're thinking about relationship, your mind can begin to wonder about the different relationships that we've had in our lives and that we even have in our lives right now. So I'll just give a little background. We know the biological background of the individuals that are mentioned in the text. And Bishop Cajot read the verses, and I was thankful that he started at verse 25. And I'll just plug this in right now, that at where we are at verse 25, it reminds me that all of the verses prior to are negative people. But when you get to verse 25, it talks about the supporters, those that were with the Lord, those that were supporters of him. And so it says that the text talks about three key people, starting in verse 26, and that's where I want to mention. So those key people are Jesus, Mary, and John, and how they are connected. And when you think about relationships, you think about a connection. And so I just want to give you a brief outline on each of these three individuals and how they are connected. Jesus, we know him as the Son of God. His earthly mother is Mary, and Joseph was his earthly father. And Mary and Joseph had other sons and daughters after Jesus, but they were not all followers of Jesus. And I'll give you background scriptures for that, John 7, 1 through 5. And I won't go back and read those scriptures for sake of time, but John 7, 1 through 5. And it was not until after his resurrection that some of his family members became followers of him. So the next person we have Mary. We know her, his mother, by divine intervention. She is also the sister of Salome, who is Zebedee's wife and John's mother. Mary was witness to the pain, humiliation, shame, suffering, and even death of her son. At the temple in Jerusalem, when Jesus was dedicated, Simeon told Mary something. And he told her, he said, that a sword would pierce through her soul as well. And the Bible says that Mary, everything that Mary heard about her sons, she said she kept all of these things in her heart, a heavy, heavy heart for a mother, day after day. And then you have John, a faithful follower of Jesus. He's the son of Zebedee. And Zebedee is the husband of Salome, Mary's sister. John was a part of Jesus' inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And he declared himself to be the disciple whom Jesus loved. And, of course, a lot of reference scriptures, John references himself, John 19 and 26, verse 20 and 2, verse 21 and 7. He has so many reference verses that refer him to the disciple that Jesus loved. And so John reclined on Jesus' bosom during the Last Supper in the upper room, John 13 and 23. And John was the only disciple who was standing at the cross of Jesus. He was the only disciple to die of natural causes. He was the writer of the book of Revelation. So this brings us to our text. I just wanted to kind of set that background of a little bit, so you could look at the people we're dealing with and how this relationship will connect continuously. This brings us to points where this brings us to the point which clearly tells us who is left standing with Jesus in his final moments of life on earth. Four women, verse 25, and it names those four women, and one man. This scenario pretty much represents the makeup of our churches today. You look around churches today, you look around, there are more women in the congregation than men. Mary's support group was void of the other 10 men who had followed Jesus during his earthly ministry. So at the cross, Mary was living out the prophecy that Simeon had predicted to her. Not only did she witness her son suffer as a child coming up, but now she had to witness his final moments of suffering, rejection, slander, lies, and much more, where people are saying, "You saved others, save yourself, save, come down, save us, save yourself." All of these things she had to hear echo about her son, who did nothing but help other people. But she never gave up on him. And so this brings us to verse 26, where it says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved," he says, although Jesus is in much pain and agony at this time, he's observant of those around him, whether up close or far off. He hears the spoken words as well as the unspoken. He even knows the very thoughts of all who are there. Hanging high and looking low, he saw two of his most faithful followers, his mother and John, the disciple whom he loved. That disciple who was a part of his inner circle. So at this time, Jesus could have easily turned the focus on himself and the pain and the agony that he was experiencing. But instead, he saw his mother in a way that moved him with compassion for her. Jesus knew that Mary would be alone once she left the cross, because in all probability, Joseph was no longer living, her husband, and his siblings, we already established, were not followers of Christ. So can you imagine the hard time she would face with no family support after losing her son to such a cruel and hurtful death? Jesus knew what she would face and moved to alter her living condition. Jesus halts down, flips the script in midstream, and creates a new family relationship. He simply says to her, "Woman," not out of disrespect to her, but compassion, knowing that calling her mother in his current state would only hurt her even more. But he said, "Woman, behold thy son. Woman, take a look at your son." He wasn't referring to himself on the cross. He said, I know you have other children, but they are not on the same page as you are." Jesus is about to create a family structure. God, Jesus, man, woman, children. With Joseph gone and her sons not dependable, Jesus knew that Mary did not need to be left without a covering. And by the law, she would not classify as a widow indeed. But John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was standing beside Jesus' mother. No wonder Jesus told Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. John 21, 21 and 22. This is what Jesus told Peter when Peter asked Jesus, what's that disciple going to do? He said, don't you worry about that. I have something for him. The other 10 disciples not only deserted Jesus, but they deserted Mary and John as well. In verse 27, then he said to the disciple, "Behold my mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. So to seal this new relationship, Jesus looks at John and says, "Behold," same thing he told Mary. He didn't change the wording. He said, "Oh, look at your mother." Jesus did not have to go into any long, drawn-out discussion about what John needed to do for Mary or whether he was even willing to take on the task assigned to him. But John, from that hour, that moment when it was all over, the Bible says, took Mary to his own home where she would receive spiritual comfort, I believe, and compassion. and not rejection or ridicule by other family members. Jesus knew that John's home would be a safe place for his mother to live out the remainder of her days. Kingdom relationship versus blood relationship. Jesus took two kingdom-minded believers and put them together, creating a new family relationship, a mother and her son. John and Mary stood with Jesus to the very end. In the family of God, there is always a special relationship formed because we have Christ as our common denominator. John is prepared to take care of Mary both physically and spiritually. He was in total agreement with the union that Jesus had put together. This says that when Christ is in control of our lives, he makes no mistakes, and we humble ourselves to his perfect will. Jesus addressed the needs of his mother first by directing her attention from him, because his earthly life was, as she would know it, would no longer be. Rather, he directs her attention to one he loved by simply saying, "Behold," or "look at John. This is your new son now." He will make sure that you have everything you need for the rest of your days here on earth. He will make sure you get to the upper room where the Holy Spirit will come and fill the hearts of every believer. Jesus took two people that were related by blood and formed a new extended relationship. Mary and John walked together with Jesus in agreement of his ministry, and therefore were able to live in this new bonded relationship as a sign by Jesus himself. In my closing, question to you. This question was posed to me. When was the last time you allowed the Lord to create a new relationship for you? And I can say I honestly allowed the Lord to do it in August of 2019. When I retired from my job and I became the primary caregiver for my mother, it allowed me to create a new relationship with her that went beyond a mother and daughter. But it went to a caretaker. It went to understanding her needs on a different level now as an adult. It went to appreciating what she did for me in my life and my siblings as we were growing up. So many of us, and I wonder how she did it today. Seven children with her one and my dad. How did they manage? And sometimes I find it hard with me one trying to manage her. But God created a new bond between us, and it's growing more and more every day. And I thank God for the new relationship that he has allowed me to share with her in her elder years. And it has allowed me to appreciate her more and more for the sacrifices that she made in her life for me, a new relationship, and I thank God for it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come give you glory and honor and praise and adoration for a new relationship. I thank you that you know how to bond us together with the people that need to be in our lives. Lord God, I thank you that you know how, oh God, to create friendships and relationships, oh God. Sometimes they get hard, oh God. But, Lord, even in the midst of the hard times, Lord, you are right there. And, Lord, you make no mistakes. And, Lord, we praise you and we glorify you, oh God, for being the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God who knows everything, who sees everything. Nothing happens in the universe without your knowledge or your permission. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on that old rugged cross, but he did not die until he made provision for a woman that he loved. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for new relationships. In Jesus' name, amen.